Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. If you take a look around this world, or take a look within your own heart, if you think about it long enough, you don't have to look very far, actually, but you realize and you recognize that there's some discomfort, that something isn't right, that things aren't the way that they should be. Just this morning, our fellow Christians on the other side of the world, just south of India, massacred in a series of bombings during their Easter morning worship service. And you might think to yourself, that's not right. There's something wrong and out of place and improper about that. But in the back of your mind, there's that little bit of discomfort on top of it that says, if our Jesus rose from the dead, and if he is ruling all of creation like he said, for the good of his people, then why are things the way they are? We don't have to look all the way to the other side of the world. Just keep within the boundaries of our own country. And if you're over the age of 30 or 35 or even 40, you could probably look around at the headlines and the news reports and think to yourself that there's something not quite right. There's something a little bit out of place from the country that you grew up in. There's something a little bit different and out of place and downright wrong with where our country is today. A little bit closer to home. Who else here is afraid to open the newspaper of a boy that had been missing, and then they found him and the circumstances weren't good? And the Christian just sits there and shakes the head like, that's not right. That's not right. Even closer to home, within God's church, Christian churches across our country, using a knife to cut out portions of God's word that they don't like, or pointing Christians back to themselves as though the gospel, this good news about Jesus, were simply the opportunity to try again and do better, as though God is the God of second chances. And if I wanted a motivational speech, I'd go look for one, but if I need a savior, I'd go to Jesus. Even closer to home, we narrow the circles. And in the confines of our own homes, in our own closest relationships, we would expect the sort of joy and happiness that we feel as we sing our Easter hymns, and we would expect that same sort of harmony within our homes and among our family members, and it's not. And you just want to throw up your hands and say, what is wrong? Because I'm expecting more, and I've expected more, and it really shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like this at all. And then closest to home, you know the truth of baptism, especially if you followed along with our daily Lenten devotions throughout the season of Lent, looking at Romans chapter 6, where God says you were buried with Christ in baptism. Actual fact. You were buried with Christ. You were raised with Christ. You have a new life. You are no longer a slave to sin. But consider your own heart. And it sure looks like slavery sometimes. Where what God says collides with what this heart wants and what this sinful human mind would propose as solutions. And we just sit back and think to ourselves, it really, really shouldn't be like this. Right? You're not the first person or the first believer in the world to have ever felt that way. Because sitting here on Easter Sunday, we've got the privilege, the benefit of kind of hitting the fast forward button on history. You realize that the disciples and the followers of Jesus during those days, they didn't have the privilege of hitting the fast forward button. They didn't know how things all would turn out. Well, sure enough, he did tell them. But that Saturday, as Jesus' body lay in the tomb, as Jesus' soul had departed and was enjoying heaven with one of those two criminals crucified with him, that Saturday, must have been the most horrible day in the world. There's Mary, his mother, with this sword called grief jutting from her chest. A prison called fear, keeping these disciples locked in a lightless room. Peter stumbling around with shame like a millstone around his neck, and it almost pulled him down. It did for Judas. And that day, the Son of God is dead. And of all the troubles and of all the problems of this world, of all the emotions that they felt and the reasons that they came up with, it just kept coming back to the same idea. It really shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like this because Jesus raised the dead and now he's dead. It shouldn't be like this. Jesus healed the sick and now he's gone. It shouldn't be like this. Jesus fed thousands. Jesus made promises. We thought he was the one. We thought he was the one. And now, the Son of God lies dead in a tomb. And if you and I miss the grief of that Saturday, then the world around us will never make sense. Because what they experienced on that day is exactly the same sort of confusion that you and I experience in our daily lives. That you and I experience as you think back to the truths that you were grown up with, that you had grown up with, and you return to them. And over time, as you get older, you might think to yourself, can I really test these things? Can I really test these truths where God says he is good, that he is a good and loving God, when I see Sri Lanka, our country, our state, our congregation, our families, our hearts? How do I know that God is a good God? And what does the resurrection have to do with it? The disciples had wondered that. The people in Corinth had wondered that. And Paul writes to them. Paul writes to them to call them back to the same basic truths that they had known, that they had confessed, that they had taken their stand on, that they had lived their lives according to. He says, I'm going to call your attention to the gospel that I preached to you. You received it, and you took your stand on it. You are also being saved by that gospel that was expressed in the words that I preached to you, if you keep your hold on it, unless you believed in vain. He says, if you ever doubted and ever wondered about the goodness of God, think back to the gospel, the message that Paul shared with them and with us. This message that isn't a motivational speech to say, try harder and do more. And it's not an idea that says, well, just think of it like a second chance. It's a truth that you have taken your stand on. That's what we just confessed in the Nicene Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in the Holy Spirit. You, today, have taken your stand on that since the day of your baptism at that font or similar. Because you really see how God works. That God isn't so much concerned with the externals and the appearances. God is concerned with making a promise and keeping it. The God who says that his Son would die and rise is the same God, the same Son of God who walked the earth with those disciples and said, dear friends, this is what will happen. The Son of Man will be betrayed, handed over to death, and on the third day he will rise again. God is concerned most of all that above everything else, above all the worries of the world, above all the concerns of politics, above all the emotions and thoughts of our deceitful hearts and minds, he says, shut all that out for just one hot second and pay attention to the Word of God. Pay attention to the Word of God. And what do we see there? It's kind of indented for you in your reading. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And what we have here, especially with the rest of this reading, what we have here is history. Paul is writing at a time when most of the people who had walked and talked with Jesus, they were still around, and he says, go look them up. 500 of them at the same time. These disciples that he had talked about, by this time James is dead, but most of the rest are still alive. The people who had walked and talked with Jesus and saw him alive, he says, the resurrection of Jesus is history. Jesus is alive, and you can't rebury him. But there's more. It's not just history. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He didn't just die and rise for his own benefit as though he had nothing better to do. No. This God looked at the world and said, things aren't as they should be. He said, things aren't as they should be. The people that he had created to walk in harmony with him and with one another were not as we should have been. And so this God took on flesh. He did the greatest of all the things that shouldn't have been and all the things that seemed out of place. The sinless walking with the sinful. The sinless carrying the sin of the sinful. The sinless dying. If you want to talk about things that are out of place and things that create a little bit of discord and discomfort in one's heart, and we look at the tragedy around us, look at the greatest tragedy of all, the Son of God lying in a tomb dead. But he didn't end there. Not at all. He didn't end there. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is history. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead for payment for sins of all people, that's Christianity. But he doesn't end there. He says he appeared to all these people. And he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And you have taken your stand on this gospel, on this truth that Jesus Christ has conquered death, exactly as our picture shows, rolled the stone away, the serpent crushed, and that same Jesus who walked out of the tomb and who appeared to his disciples is ruling over the world for your good. If you want to see what our God is like, then look at our risen Lord. The risen Lord who died and rose, that's history. Historical fact. But this risen Lord, this Jesus who died and rose for the sins of all people, that's Christianity. But most of all, this Jesus died and rose for your sins and mine. That's salvation. So think of it this way. There's this woman, and the story is told, I think, in her book, about a woman named Joni Erickson Tada. She had been in an accident when she was 17 years old, and she was paralyzed from the neck down. And she would be wheeled into church, especially on Easter Sunday, and sit there in the back. Well, not this church, obviously. But she sat there in her wheelchair every Sunday, listening to the readings and hearing about her Savior. And Easter Sunday, seeing everyone else kneeling. They flipped down their little kneeling rails and everybody knelt for the confession of sins. And this is what she said, as everyone is kneeling and she, sitting in her chair, cannot. This is what she said, with everyone kneeling, I certainly stood out and I couldn't stop the tears. Tears of self-pity at being a quadriplegic. No, she was crying at the sight of hundreds of people on their knees before God, in her words, a picture of heaven. This is what she says. Sitting there, I was reminded that in heaven, I will be free to jump up, dance, kick, and do aerobics. And the first thing I plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorified knees, and I will quietly kneel at the feet of Jesus. And she adds, I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, I will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness. Can you imagine the hope that the resurrection gives to someone who is spinal cord injured like me? You see, the point of Jesus dying and rising from the dead, it's not just history. And it's not just Jesus dying and rising from the dead for the sins of all people. That's Christianity. And it's not just Jesus dying and rising from the dead for your sins and mine. That's salvation. But it's Jesus dying and rising so that you too will be raised from the dead at the end of time. And that's resurrection. Resurrection for you and for me. At the point of your Christian faith, the words we confess here together, the songs we sing here together, are merely the faintest echo of those in heaven right now, singing their praises. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wisdom and honor and glory and strength and praise. That today, of all days, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, a resurrection that was made yours at the font, a resurrection that is made yours again at the table, a resurrection that is, yes, historical fact, a resurrection that is for all people, Christianity, a resurrection that is for your sins and mine, salvation, but a resurrection with the goal of raising you from the dead to worship with this exact same body in heaven itself for all eternity. That's resurrection. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.